Praised be Jesus and Mary. Today's saints, Franciscans Agathangelus and Cassian, were both born in France, both became Capuchins, and both became missionaries in first Egypt and then in Ethiopia in the 1600s, so in the 17th century. And both, after years of dedicated work as missionaries in their missionary lands, both gave their lives for the gospel, and both were put to death. Both were martyred in 1638. Their lives, I guess, are typical of the lives of many Franciscan martyrs and missionaries. A life of quiet dedication to duty, rewarded by the crown of martyrdom. And one thing, however, in their life stands out as worthy of mention that I'd like to just stop and focus on today. Their ability, I guess, just to use a modern word, their ability to dialogue fruitfully with their own superiors for the common good of the church, because during their ministry, while they were working as missionaries in Egypt, the Holy See had to intervene in their case. In the judgment of the Holy See, some of their activities were deemed imprudent and had to be stopped. Now, when Blessed Agathangelus found out about this, of course, with reverence, he accepted that decision. It was a decision that mainly regarded the interaction between Catholics in that mission area and the Coptic Christians, who were almost Catholics, but principally broke communion with the Holy Father. So they were going about it one way, while the Holy See thought that their way of going about it, this interaction between the Catholics and the non-Catholics, was imprudent. And it intervened and asked them to put a stop to it. Well, to make a long story short, and without going into detail, that Blessed Agathangelus was able to humbly accept the decision of the Holy See while writing to his superiors in Rome and explaining what he thought maybe they didn't understand, that a missionary did understand, being a man on the ground, so to speak, being immersed in the circumstances of the mission. So while completely submitting himself to the decisions of the Holy See, he said, well, before a final decision is made, let me first say why we do what we do, what the reasons are, why I think I am right, and if you knew everything that I know, you would agree with me too. And in this, he showed a true concern for the common good, a true respect for authority, and a true virtue in exercising this dialogue with his superiors. Instead of just blowing off the decision and saying, I'm right, they're wrong, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, he had this respect to at least communicate and to submit himself to the final decisions of his superiors. Kind of maybe an abstract thing, how does this relate to us? I think it relates because maybe it's still an abstract thought, but in our modern day and age, every one of us Christians, in whatever state of life, whether it be a clergy or non-ordained Christians, everyone has a quote from the Code of Canon Law, Canon 212, everyone has a right and even at times a duty to manifest to pastors their opinion on matters pertaining to the good of the church, and to make their opinion known to the rest of the faithful, without prejudice to the integrity of faith and morals, and with reverence towards their pastors, and attentive to the common good and dignity of persons. So we too, in our own way, have this duty to, I guess, let's use this word, to dialogue with those who are in authority in the church, whether it be your priest at the local level, at the parish level, bishop at the diocesan level. And the examples that come to mind are, I guess, slightly controversial, but those are the easy ones because they just get the point across best. But I think today, you know, for one example that comes to mind is I think there's truly a need to, let's call it, dialogue with the shepherds on, for example, the disastrous consequences of ordaining homosexual candidates to the priesthood. It's maybe pointing out the obvious, something that we've known for years, but let's at least acknowledge it and maybe respectfully but urgently ask the shepherds to acknowledge it too, the disastrous consequences of ordaining homosexual men to the priesthood and then maybe moving them up to the episcopacy as well. Plenty of examples, you know, bursting open and without going into detail, without mentioning names. Sooner or later, this will have to be acknowledged, but sooner is better. And I think the faithful can have a large role in respectfully demanding that it be acknowledged and remedied. And other things come to mind, you know, just a general category, how it in the end cannot be for the good of the church to keep on maybe relativizing what's dogma and dogmatizing, if that's a good word, what in the end is maybe relative or up to prudential judgment. So on the one hand, creating confusion about marriage and divorce and remarriage and sexual relations between non-spouses, creating confusion maybe about other things, about other dogmatic matters, sins that could keep a person from the kingdom of heaven. Well, on the other hand, seemingly dogmatizing what in the end just is very relative, like climate change and immigration and other things. The faithful, insofar as they're affected by this, should pose these questions to their shepherds and point out maybe the consequences of such a way of proceeding, how maybe even if it's well-intentioned on the part of the shepherds, point out, well, the disaster that ensues from this type of confusion. Another example, last one, another one, the misuse, apparent at least, misuse of the donations of the Christian faithful by either church men or church institutions, which over and over again appear to have links and collaborations with other non-church institutions that promote abortion or the homosexual agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Even institutions that maybe collect money in parishes. I think unless a dialogue is instituted, at least the question, well, why should I give money to this institution when it's been shown over and over again that it misuses that money? I think if the Christian faithful are unable to do that, insofar as they're affected by these matters, then they might really be failing in the exercise of their right and even of their duty to manifest to their pastors their concerns, their opinions, things that pertain to the common good of the flock. But that's just a thought. That's just maybe an application of the example of the saints. Because again, dialogue shouldn't just be a euphemism for dissent. I don't want to accept church teaching, so I'm going to dialogue with the church by rejecting its teaching. No, dialogue should be felt by each and every one of us as a true duty that we have to manifest to the pastors the wounds of the mystical body of Christ that need to be remedied, that need to be medicated, lest the whole body suffer. Saints Cassian and Agathangelus give us an example of that, and let's trust in their intercession that they'll also give us the grace to exercise this right and duty. Praised be Jesus and Mary.